Hello and welcome to the Aftershock Central Podcast. Martin Travis. Hello, Travis.
Hello, Martin.
How art thou this fine eve?
I'm doing good.
did I catch you off guard? What's up?
You caught me off guard. I can't improv in Shakespearean.
You mean English?
I know.
I cut you off guard. Ronnie's not here because he told me to tell everyone Ronnie hates Aftershock. Those were his exact words. Actually, no, that's not true. His exact words were, I have a graduation party to attend.
Yeah, so, dude, congrats to Austin.
Congrats to his son Austin for graduating. Ronnie will be back on the next one. See, no secret mission this week. We ran out of secret missions.
Yeah, well, you know, like, it was maybe not secret, but definitely worthwhile.
Agreed. This week we only have one book to talk about, so we should get to it. But first, we have a new book announcement, Travis.
Yes.
Very excited for Bad Reception, written and illustrated by Juan Doe of Dark Ark fame. What else did he do? American Monster, Animosity, World Reader. Did I miss any?
I don't think so, but that's a bunch.
Yeah, it's a bunch. And, of course, he's been an artist for a long time. I think this is the first book he has ever written. So that's exciting.
It is, yeah. Yeah, man. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. I'll put a link in the show notes to the article, the announcement, because there's some good quotes on here talking about his relationship with Aftershock and how awesome they are. And how he went around creating the pitch and writing the book and all that seems pretty exciting. So the book is basically, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's about a celebrity couple that are getting married. So they're going to go to this exotic island to do their fancy wedding and invite a bunch of people. But the one caveat is that nobody can bring their phones with them.
Yes.
And then there's a serial killer that's hunting them down on the island and branding them with hashtags. I like it. This is right up my alley.
Yes. Okay. So, like, I'm not on Instagram. Like, do I need to brush up on that in order to be able to digest this?
I hope not, because I tried Instagram one time for literally 30 seconds and thought it was hot garbage, so I deleted it.
Yeah, it seems like it can be a lot, but I wouldn't know because I don't really do it on the reg, so.
No, I hear you. I mean, I hear about Instagram from my wife and kids, so I'm familiar. Plus, it's more like a social media thing, you know. I don't know if it's necessarily inclined towards Instagram, but yeah, it should be interesting. Some a little bit of social commentary on social media, so I dig that. The plot of this sounds like a Black Mirror episode. Which I like. Yeah. I love that show.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of high concept, right?
Yeah, I dig it. I dig it. And I'm sure he can pull it off. His art is fantastic. And I think there's a couple preview pages that were shown on there as well. Not a whole bunch of stuff, but should be pretty good. So that's coming out August 21st. Bad Reception. Tell your shop you want to get 30 copies. Tell them Martin said I need to order 30 copies. I don't know why, but I do. Okay, take one for the team. Support Aftershock. All right, that's it for the announcements, I think. Did I miss anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Man, this cover on this book is so good.
Wando is legit, man.
He is legit. He is
so
legit.
Like I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing what comes out when he is the one who decides like what's showing up on the page, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, that, like, could open up some possibilities, but...
Yeah, I always find it really interesting when an artist turns into a writer. It doesn't always work out 100%, but sometimes it works out really well because they can imagine the whole story in their head, you know? Like, Bob Hall, for example, was really good at that. So this should be good. All right, let's talk about our book for the week, and that book is Orphan Age Number 2. This is written by Ted Anderson with art by Nuno Plotty. We have colors by João Lemos and Nuno Plotty and letters by Marshall Dillon. All right. So a nice little vignette story we get in this particular issue. You requested finding out a little bit more about how this whole thing happened. We didn't get that in this issue, but we do learn a little bit more about how different parts of the country dealt with the events of all the adults dying. And we go to the mall. Welcome to the mall!
Yeah, I mean, the mall is definitely kind of Dawn of the Dead reminiscence. But, you know, it makes sense, you know, that, like, I guess what's interesting is, like, what they kind of gloss over, which is, like, what did this guy do to take the whole mall for himself? You know, that must have been something pretty serious. Because it's, like, I don't know, it's, like, it's all kids, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you would think that even kids would, like, generally, once this happened, they might go to the mall. A decent amount would think of it,
sure,
to go and try to stock up.
Well,
this guy got there first, and he's like, nope,
so
mine.
He kind of hints at some of that stuff when he's giving his speech. I don't think he actually went to the mall. I assume that he was there with his parents when this happened, when the great dying happened. Because he was talking about how it took him like 2 weeks to clear everybody out, all the dead bodies, to clear them out of the mall. So my assumption was that he was already there. I don't know, like, what the distance is between all these places, right? Like, we have a general map of the area, but there's not, like, an exact map. So I don't know, like, how far this is from the town that we were at in the first issue. But I would assume, like, you know, it's at least a few miles walk. Probably take a couple hours to get there. I don't know if – he doesn't seem like the kind of person that as a kid would be like, hey, let's go to the mall. You know what I mean? Like, how many guys, you know, are like, hey, I'm not doing anything today. Let me go to the mall. I don't know. Maybe, like, in high school to pick up girls?
Well, yeah, I mean, also, it's a different time, you know? Like,
sure.
Like, the malls, I think, are not really what they once were, as far as a place where, like, it's the only place where teenagers can go and loiter.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know if it's – maybe it still serves that purpose, but I feel like malls have, like, suffered – in recent years, thanks Amazon.
Hey, my kids still like go to the mall.
Okay.
They want to go every Friday. I'm like, I don't want to go to the mall. I've never wanted to go to the mall.
Yeah, just bring home a box of Cinnabon and maybe that'll, like, do the trick.
Nah, dude, those pretzels. I gotta have a pretzel.
Yes. This episode of Aftershock Central brought to you by Auntie Anne's Pretzels.
But he's definitely much older than everybody else though, right? Like once things go down towards the latter end of the issue, you see a bunch of other people that are living at the mall, and he definitely seems much older than the rest of them. You know, like he's got a kid. I would say his kid's, you know, what, 6, 7, 8 maybe. He's pretty young still. I mean, looking at the guy, I would assume like 40, but you know, it's been 20 years since this great dying happened of the adults. So he had to be younger than that. Like maybe early high school, like sophomore maybe. I don't know what like the cutoff is for this adult virus. You know what I mean? I just assume 18.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, well, for comparison's sake, like, you know, I would assume maybe he was similar age to like the sheriff from the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like they both got a kid maybe around the same age. Like, maybe the sheriff was a little bit older.
Yeah, so mid to late-ish 30s. I mean, tops. He can't be older than 38.
Yeah, so it's – so like probably, yeah, like some kind of teenager when it went down. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm curious about, like, what kind of their deal is generally. Like, because, you know, they're here and they you know, they at least this one guy has been branded a thief by the church.
Right.
You know, so like, I don't know. Does that suggest that they are in with the church somehow? Because like they don't, church doesn't strike me as somebody that generally like lets people like steal or whatever in and just like brands them and then it's done, you know,
and lets them go. Yeah.
Unless they're now working for the church and they're going to set them on the path for like where they're headed.
Sure. So it could be like in Walking Dead, right? When Negan shows up, where you have like different settlements, but they all work for Negan. It could be that way. I don't know if he necessarily gives any indications of that. It could be that, I mean, maybe this guy just got lucky and managed to escape, or they broke him out, because they're all in on this thievery ring, right? So, Daniel and Willa and Princess go to the mall because they need a gun for Princess. They also need ammunition and some food and stuff. And, while Willa is shopping for a gun, she notices a guy trying to pickpocket Princess. I think Princess has all the money for some reason. That seems like a terrible idea to give the little kid all the money. But he's a pickpocket, and she catches him. And that's when we learn that, like, they do this all the time. Just nobody knows about it for various reasons, right? Like, if they get caught, then they just kill that person or make him disappear or whatever. But you would think, like, surely somebody would have caught him and escaped.
I mean, it's on a map, you know? Like, it was on Willa's map for some reason. So, like, does that mean that somebody's out there, like, trying to lure people in? Or she just walked by a mall and was like, that could be a place where, I don't know, like, they have a sign out front?
Well, no, I mean, I think it's on the map because it's a place where you can go and find supplies, right? Like, you need that kind of thing when you're not making new things anymore. So I think that's the reason it's on the map. But what I found really interesting is, cause this guy's very concerned about the reputation of the mall, right? He doesn't want people to know that they're stealing from people while they're in there. Just this one time this guy got caught. So I think it's on the map because it's like a legit place where you know you can go. They accept all kinds of money, right? Like church money, the Albany dollar, they can barter, whatever, like any kind of money, they'll accept it. They've got all kinds of stuff because it's a giant mall. There was a curious line on there, something about like, how in the old days, like they made enough for everybody. And I found that interesting because like, that's not the way we would look at it now, right? Like there's so much crap at the mall, like it's almost unnecessary, right? But here, like since nobody's making anything, they see this very differently. They see it as like, well, you know, they had so much stuff that there was enough for everybody. But now, like, we don't see it that way. We're like, it's not enough. I need to buy more stuff. So I found that interesting. I also like the way when he explained how he managed to run the mall, he was talking about the different types of kids, and I thought that was pretty interesting as well. He talks about three different kinds of kids. He said the first kind of kid saw a world without adults, and he went straight for the potato chips and ice cream. Those kids died first. Smarter kids went to the store and took lasting stuff, flour, salt, dried meats, and spices. Those kids lasted longer. But the third bunch of kids, you know what they took? Tools, axes, shovels, pliers, stuff you can use. Because those kids, they realized whatever kind of future they were going to have, they'd have to build themselves. And then when Princess asked what kind he was, he's like a fourth type. She's like, are you the third kind? He's like, no, I took the whole damn store. And I think that was, you know, when you see the twist, that's actually kind of revealing about his character, right? Because he's not going to wait for anybody to give him anything. If he wants something, he's going to take it. I think in the last page, Daniel even used that same line. He's like, you know, if you wait for the world to give you something, you're going to die waiting. So you just need to take whatever you need. So that kind of gives you an idea of the type of world that we're living in.
Yeah, I mean, I was interested in that speech too, and trying to think about, you know, like what to take away, mm-hmm. you know, like the two latter types, I thought it was an interesting distinction to make, because it's like you could take care of now and take care of later. Like walking out with like a bag full of tools and no food, probably you might have some immediate problems.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't know exactly what to take away from, you know, that speech, the kind of distinction they were trying to draw there. But I do want to jump on, like your comment about what kind of world it is, because elsewhere in the issue they were talking about, like, basically when they were like, we're going to bring you a gun, and Princess says, you know, like, basically she's like, I don't want to shoot a person, you know,
yeah.
Like, you know, and they make points like, you know, either you're willing to use the gun or you're going to have the gun used on you. And I was like, I didn't really know what to make of that, you know, like whether that was a general comment about guns or whether it's like specific to this context specifically, where, you know, like obviously society is broken down a long way. But, you know, I thought it was interesting that then at the end, she does go for the gun, you know, like they're leaving and she takes time to go get it and leave extra money, like, to take it with her. So that was her making the choice that, like, yes, having been at gunpoint, she understands that she needs a gun, although that's, you know, not a great way to live.
Sure, but he's also mindful of that, right? Because he explicitly tells Willa to get a small caliber revolver. And I mean, you can take that any number of ways, I think, right? Like, you want to give the girl a small gun. Obviously, she's a tiny little girl. But that also kind of goes with what you said. You know, a small caliber may not be lethal, right? But it might be enough for her to defend herself. And the, mm-hmm. The fact that it's a revolver, it's not like an automatic when you just go like, pop, 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 right? Like, you have to shoot it and, you know, hit the trigger again and reload it. It's a much slower process. So it's kind of like, you know, respecting the fact that she doesn't want to have to do any kind of killing or anything like that. But at the same time, she has to have it for protection. Like, it's pretty obvious from all the groups that we've seen in the first two issues that there really isn't anywhere safe for them to be, especially when they're like, when they're going to a settlement. Like, they're probably safer on the road in the woods than they are in any settlement that they find.
Sure. I mean, I'm very curious about just the general what's out there right now, you know, like how sparsely populated are we talking about, you know, mm-hmm. like, because that, you know, it's, we're still very like close in this, like the scope hasn't opened up and we don't really understand how the world is. Like for example, this issue, I thought what was pretty interesting was they reference currency, mm-hmm. and, you know, they have Albany dollars, which, you know, to me, A, suggests why they were headed towards Albany. And, you know, maybe there's some kind of government that exists there. And there's the church dollars, like church has their own currency. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like that maybe speaks to like kind of conflict on the territory about like who is in control, you know, but yeah. We only know what we've seen firsthand.
Sure. So I did a brief lookup of U.S. population by sex and age, and there's roughly, 80 million people under the age of 19.
Yeah.
So give or take. I mean, it's been 20 years, so obviously that would grow. But we haven't seen many kids, right? Like Willa, I can't remember the kid in the second issue, Billy or something. There's been like maybe 3 kids. So I would assume it's still roughly about the same, 80, 90 million people in the whole country. That's what, like a fourth of the total, something like that.
Yeah. But I mean, obviously, like, I think the assumption is that a lot of people died in those intervening years, you know, like they reference it right in this issue about them not lasting long.
Yep.
You know, so I think like maybe all of the chaos that's going on probably like lessen that dramatically, you know? Mm. So like, is it the type of thing where it's just like mostly like isolated compounds or settlements or something, and it's like really not a huge population as we understand it?
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
But like, yeah, what's up with Albany? You know, like I don't know. That I think speaks to what really the situation is in the country, you know, like mm-hmm. if there is a safe place.
Yeah, I don't think there will be a safe place. Again, especially not in a populated area, you know. I definitely feel like they'll be safer on their own in the woods than they would be anywhere else. But yeah, I'm also curious what the hell is up with Albany, right? Because like that's where they have to go. But why? Like obviously there's some kind of centralized government there, so maybe that's enticing for them to go there. Maybe it's a little bit safer, right? If they have an Albany dollar, they might have an army there, so that could be a way to protect themselves from being chased by the church. The church is obviously a different entity, so they might be at war with Albany. I don't know. I think it'll be interesting once we get to that point of the story. You know how we get to that point? people have to buy this book.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we'll get the full run, right? You know?
I hope so.
I don't know. Like did he speak to whether there's like a bigger world that might be around the corner in future volumes?
So from what I remember about the panel, his intention is for it to be an ongoing. But just like everything else, that really depends on sales.
All right. Well, then I agree with your proposition 100%.
Buy more comics. All right. Anything else on this book?
I guess I would just say we're going to see the church again, right?
Mm.
I don't think that they I feel like they're going to come back unless it's just going to be like a different like villain of the issue, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I think I'm good.
Cool. Let's rate it up. What do you think?
I'll go 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm going to go 4 out of 5 too. I'm digging this issue series so far. So good job, Ted. Keep on writing, buddy. Next week, we only have 2 books, but they're goodies. We have Animosity 21. I'm very excited for that one after the events of the previous issue. And Mary Shelley Monster Hunter #2 will also be out. So another good discussion, and hopefully Ronnie will be back. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter at Rumbar316, at The Great Magnet, at Geekvine, and at AftershockPod. Thank you for listening. See you on the next one.
Shock the world!